only eat meat once today at your primary meal. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and it will manifest myself to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The Dauphin, Louis XV, King of France, one day he took his two young children to the cathedral church, because when each of them had been born, there, for one reason or another, because of some sort of danger to their life, they had been baptized privately, as happens from time to time, in which the father or one of the servants or somebody takes care of the ensuring that the baby has the baptism done, but is not able to get to the church yet to have all of the ceremonies. And so he took his two sons, now aged 7 and 8, to the cathedral so that all of those extra ceremonies that accompany the act of baptism may be supplied after the fact. The king, he didn't waste the opportunity just simply to have what was necessary taken care of, but he also took the time to teach them an important instruction. After all the ceremonies had been completed, they came into the sacristy, and there he had the book for the ceremonies, the register book for the sacraments brought out to him, and he opened it up to the point where their names were inscribed inside, and he pointed out to them. He said, "Look, here it is. After you were baptized, and it was reported to the church, here your name has been placed in here to make note that the sacrament had taken place. However, look right before your name." And they looked at the book and they said, "See this? The person who was baptized right immediately before you. Do you know who that person is?" And the boys shook their head and they said, "No, Father, we do not know who he is." He said, "That young boy there, he is the son of an extremely poor man. And you yourselves are not. You are the sons of a king. You're princes. You have all of the wealth that you could ever want for. You see, children, in the eyes of God, all ranks and conditions are equal. He allows no distinction except made by religion and by virtue. You are princes. And one day, you will be distinguished and powerful in the eyes of the world. This boy, he will not be known by anybody outside of his family and those immediately near to him. However, if this boy proves to be more virtuous than you, he will be greater and more illustrious in the eyes of God." And with that, the important lesson was passed on to his sons. Today the church again has us process back to the font, back to bless again the baptismal water. We were here merely 49 days prior, doing exactly the same thing. But the church has us renew baptismal water again on the vigil of Pentecost. Why? Because it is recognized that in those times of the early church, when the baptisms of converts took place only with the bishop, in only at the times when prescribed, that while the vigil of Easter was the time that they were meant to come and have the converts welcomed into the church, life circumstances could occur, and perhaps some of them would not be able to be in attendance. Perhaps they would be prohibited by some sort of illness or obligation, or by distance and difficulty to get there. And the church did not intend to have them have to wait an entire another year to arrive at the font of baptism. Also, it is possible that maybe they entered into their study of the catechism a little bit later than the rest of the catechumens, and having not completed all of their lessons, were not just quite ready and prepared for that life-saving sacrament. So the church, it gave a second opportunity for the baptisms to take place here on the vigil of Pentecost. Today, as we well know, the church no longer limits us to the administration of baptism at the cathedral or at specific times of the year for catechumens. However, we are still performing the ceremonies because of the fact that we are left with the spiritual significance of these ceremonies to hold fast to. They are a reminder for us all of our own baptism. They are a reminder for us all what we are called to go and to bring others to. It is on this day, the vigil of Pentecost, that we bless the font again, because it is in part a recognition of this is exactly when the mission of the apostles began. They began at Pentecost. They went out for the first time preaching and teaching the truths of Christ. For the first time pouring out those waters of baptisms upon their head and washing away sin from their souls. For the first time, they, since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, for the very first time, it is at Pentecost that sanctifying grace is returned to man once again. Since the fall, it is the first time in which heaven is opened for men to enter into. Christ, of course, walked through the gates first at his ascension. And then it is now in which the grace upon souls is returned by the water of baptism that man has the directions in order to walk through it, the ability to follow after the Master. Also, until now, it is that man has only been able to serve God in a way which is based in obedience, founded in reverential fear. He knows that God is all-powerful, and as such, he has commuted to them rules and ceremonies that he must obey and he must follow, things which he must avoid. And so he does so because it is commanded by God and because he fears God. But now, with the coming of the sacrament of baptism, it is for the first time with sanctifying grace now in the souls of the new Catholics at the beginning of the church. The first time man can honestly say since the Garden of Eden that he loves God. That he, in turn, realizes that it is not merely out of fear, but out of a true return of goodness, in that way of love, that he best and most perfectly serves his Creator. It is at Pentecost that man is given this actual love of God as well. Because it is at baptism that he receives the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, the very love of God itself, a love so powerful between the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father that it generates from all eternity a third person, which now belongs to each and every one of the faithful there baptized. It is by that Holy Ghost he now not only has a love of God within himself, which he can then reciprocate back and radiate outwards to his father and to those around him. But moreover, it is that love of God, the Holy Ghost, that he possesses in his heart and in his soul, that now aids him by its gifts, so that he may act supernaturally, so that he may do more than simply avoiding the things that are forbidden in the natural law and the things that were commanded to be avoided by what was laid down in the scriptures, and that he is able to do more than simply avoid the evil. He now is able to actually be virtuous. He is now able to actually not only possess grace, but able to grow in grace. That he is able to be more perfect. That he is able to rise up beyond what he has been created as man, and become more and more that image and likeness of God by his increase in perfection. And it is in this the true mark of distinction amongst men, the mark that is given by baptism, that now allows man to have God gaze upon him. God looks down upon all of his creation. And once again, he is now able to see upon their souls and in their hearts. He is able to find once again himself, because by sanctifying grace, he now dwells therein. He sees him looking back at himself. It is as the Dauphin taught his children. It doesn't matter if a person is prince or pauper, the life of grace alone marks them as distinguished in the eyes of God. And so today, on the Vigil of Pentecost, the blessing of the water of the font, once again, we remember what a true treasure has been given to us each that has gone to the font before. We understand that this heavenly treasure is one that is more precious than anything of the world, that it must be protected and guarded jealously and vigorously from all assaults that may want to tarnish or remove it. And moreover, not just guarded, but increased, that it may be built upon and strengthened, and that God himself, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that he promises us the aid by his seven gifts to be able to do this very thing each and every day of our lives, so long as we look to heaven and call upon him and ask him to do so. We then increase in grace. We then grow in the way of love in the eyes of God. We then have this stronger connection and deeper love of him. And we draw ourselves thus one step closer to walking through those gates which he has opened for us. May God bless you in the name of the Father.